Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Why do you come to church on Sunday morning? What are you looking for? What is it you are seeking? I imagine some of us come because we seek peace, though not that kind of peace that Jesus offers. I mean the kind of peace that we receive when we relent as a parent or spouse nags or drags us out of bed, forcing us through those doors. I imagine some seek stability. We were baptized here, confirmed here, married here, and we hope to be buried here as well, just as our parents were before us, and we pray that our children were after us. It's what we do, after all, and we can't imagine doing anything else. At least, not while there is nothing better to do. Some seek righteousness, viewing church and making it through another of pastor's sermons as a deposit into their account. It makes us feel good about ourselves, especially when we take note of all those who are not here. Some, I suspect, seek fulfillment as we desire to be inspired, uplifted, and filled with happy feelings. Some seek fellowship as we shake hands and smile at one another, ignoring our differences and what we really think about one another, at least for the next hour or so. And some seek Jesus through his word and his sacrament, knowing that there is no other name by which we are saved, knowing that there is no other hope in this dying world. Most of us, if we are honest, are probably here for a variety of those reasons. But no matter what reason you are here, the word of God is spoken here for you. Do not let it pass you by. It is spoken so that you may know what the Lord desires, what he requires of you, and what is to become of you. God called Ezekiel, after all, to be a watchman of the house of Israel, to guard and keep the spiritual welfare of Israel. So too he calls every pastor as a watchman. And he has called me to guard and keep the spiritual welfare of this house. I, like every pastor before me that you have ever had, has been called to speak God's warning. God has appointed me to warn you whenever you depart from his ways and truth. I've been called to tap you on the shoulder whenever you go off the rails, whenever I see you turning things into idols, such as sports or patriotism or money, whenever I see you deceived by seductive words of sin, Satan, and the world, whenever I see you despising his gifts of word and sacrament, whenever I see you hurting or harming yourself or anyone else in any way, whenever I see you living unfaithfully with your spouse, whenever I see you dealing unjustly with someone by stealing or defraud, whenever your posts on Facebook go beyond the bounds of God's love. But it's not always all that easy, nor is it always all that simple. It is especially not comfortable. Your old nature wants to be free to do anything it pleases, to believe anything it desires. It resents being reined in. It resents being told no. It resents being shown its ugliness, its sin, and so it wants to rage. It may even think, "Does Pastor really think that he is better than me? Is he really so arrogant to think that he knows it all?" And in truth, some people do get angry when their pastor confronts them with their sin, even to the point where they leave the church. But consider this. Just as God addresses Ezekiel as Son of Man, so he reminds you and me who I am and what role my place is. With those words, he reminds us that I feel those same temptations, commit those same sins, partake in the same rebellions that you do. I am not called to put you in your place, but to remind all of us, all of us, including myself, of the place that we are in together. And then my old nature wants to avoid the conflict, to not agitate people, to not call your wrath down upon me, and so I want to compromise and appease you. So we both must remember at all times that the words that I speak are not my own. They are God's warning. I simply come as the Lord's messenger. And God reminds us that if I stand in so much fear or awe of you that I am afraid to point out your sin to you, He's holding me personally responsible for what happens to you. I confess that I have not always been the best at this, at being your watchman, but I pray that both you and the Lord will forgive me where I have failed. But there's more to this watchman job. God also has called me to pull you aside when you begin to think that you're making it on your own. When you think that all the good you've done makes up for all the times you've transgressed God's law and will, you won't hear me console you by agreeing that as far as God is concerned, the good that you've done outweighs your sin. My job is to guard and keep you from such false theology and flawed reasoning. Maybe you can make up for some wrong with your neighbor or a family member, but that won't work with God. You can't compensate for your sins. When you get yourself in so deep that you recognize your sin and you despair and you cry out, "Pastor, there is no way out of this mess that I've made," God has called me to say to you, that is not true. The Lord does not take pleasure in seeing you in this condition. Turn away from the sorry mess you've created and live. There's more to it even than that. In times of flooding, road crews will post signs that say, "Danger, high water," and they will direct cars to alternate routes. If a road crew member doesn't put out the sign and a car drives through that water so deep that it causes them to stall and start floating away, of course the driver would complain, "Why didn't they warn me?" On the other hand, if the driver sees the sign and he ignores it, well, that's their problem, isn't it? Yet even so, if one perishing in the flood cries out for aid, what road crew member would simply say, "Well, that's too bad. We put up warning signs after all." So too, it's not my job. My job isn't completely done when I've warned you about the dangerous spiritual conditions. But I'm also called to point you out the way out of your predicament. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, says the Lord in our text. The way out is not to try doing better. It's not to try harder. It's not to do the best you can. I'm called not to just urge you away from the sin that you are committing, but also to turn to something, to turn to someone. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with that temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. If your life has been shattered by sin, there is a way of escape. For there is one who has already endured the shame and punishment that your sin deserves. God has called me to point you to another greater Son of Man, and that is Jesus. Jesus came in human flesh to face the same temptations that you and I face as mortals. Only Jesus succeeded in resisting where you and I have failed. Jesus kept God's laws perfectly for you and for me. And in his great love for you, he saw fit that his obedience was credited to you. And as we will see in the coming of weeks, Jesus did more than that by even giving up his life on the cross as the payment for our sins. All of his benefits become yours when you are baptized into his family. All the power which came to you from the Spirit in your baptism is there to help you with that daily turning away from your sins back to Christ in faith. In that sense, I am also a watchman to point you back to Christ. Should I find you ever depressed over your sins or discouraged over your failed attempts to live a godly life for him? If you listen to my words of admonition and you repent, turning back to Christ, you will receive his forgiveness. The sin you committed in the past will not be held against you, for the Lord desires that you turn and live. That is the very reason for his forgiveness. Television public service announcements urge us to know the warning signs of a stroke or heart attack. Spouses or children are also urged to know them, so that when they see them in others, they will know what to do. In a similar way, then, I serve as your watchman, called to be alert to the signs of spiritual danger in this congregation. And I pray that with God's power, I will continue to be that blessing to you always. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.